Welcome to the Third Generation Networking Podcast with your hosts, Debbie and Greg Peters. Welcome to another episode of the Third Generation Networking Podcast. I'm Greg Peters, the reluctant networker, and with me is my co-host, Debbie Peters, the networking guru, and also my mom. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing really, really well. I know this won't be going out until next week, right?
Right.
But I just was at the museum this morning for the Women of Toledo event where it was an event to honor Women's History Month, but also to talk about a couple of their new initiatives that will affect women's economics in our region. So it was really, really interesting. And there was a woman there from the UN who spoke. She was the keynote speaker.
Oh, how cool. That sounds really exciting.
It was very exciting.
Well, that sounds like one more benefit of networking.
So I was networking in my least favorite way, which is in big group situations at a terrible, the museum, the sound is not great for me for networking.
So like me, you were probably going, could you repeat that?
Putting my ear right in their mouth.
All right. Well, that all said, today we're here to talk a little bit about referral partners. In fact, our good friend, Amy Cantor of Diamond Wellness, she asked us to talk a little bit about this, how to work effectively with a referral partner. And this is an idea that we talk about in our class. And Amy is a recent graduate of our class, and so is very excited to experiment with these ideas. So when we're talking about referral partners, we're not talking about just someone who passes you the occasional referral.
No, I like to think of them more as a teammate. You know, you're both on the same team. You're both working together to have the win for each of you.
Okay. So this isn't also someone you just met at a networking event.
it could be in the future. Someone that you just met today might be a teammate of the future, but it takes a while to develop the relationship to the level where you have that trust, where you're going to be probably sharing some confidential information at the most, or maybe even, opening your client list. So obviously you're not going to do that with everyone.
Sure. And we've actually talked about, in order to have a good referral teammate, there are like six different attributes that we're not going to go into all the details in here, but they need to be able to be educated. They need to be willing to help. They need to, and I think one of the big important ones there is they need to serve the same people that you do or a very close subset of it.
Yes.
Because otherwise it's just too hard for you to help each other.
It means that you're going after opposite, what you're going after for yourself is opposite of what that person is going after for themselves. And so never serendipity doesn't happen. But if you're both going after the same or similar group of people, then it just, while you're advocating for yourself, you're also prospecting for your teammate.
There we go. Okay. So we now have a better picture of what we're referring to as a referral teammate. And we're not going to have a lot of these, are we?
No. In fact, I have one. And I've had as many as two or maybe one and a half in my past. And having two really kept me very, very busy because obviously you have to work. It's got to be a mutually beneficial relationship. So you've got to work on behalf of that person while they're working on behalf of you. And if you had 10 of them, you wouldn't get any. You would just be, like on a crazy merry-go-round. So we recommend no more than four, but never in my history have I done that many. I've only done two at the most.
Right. And I don't even have one right now. I'm working on identifying people who could be in that area, but it's certainly not it's not going to be all over the place. And I think that's an area that a lot of people get confused by is that, well, how would I do this with everyone that's in my Rolodex? You don't.
No, not at all.
So we've identified someone who is a good, a potential referral partner. How do we work with them effectively?
So the teammate that you're wanting to work with, you have to have a level, as I already mentioned, of trust so that you can sit down and say, okay, what do we want to achieve together? So you're going to put a strategy, whether it's written or just verbal, in place as to how are we going to work with each other. because it is a working relationship. It doesn't just, you don't just pluck stuff out of the air and say, oh, goody, I got it from my referral teammate. That doesn't happen. Well, it could happen, but you want to be able to be proactive both about them, but also have them be proactive about you, as opposed to just waiting for stuff to happen.
Okay.
And that's another difference between anybody that's giving you referrals and a referral teammate. They're working actively on your behalf, that the teammate, whereas others will just kind of like, oh yeah, this one might be good for Greg.
So with someone who's not a referral teammate, they're more serendipitous. It happens when it happens, and we're happy when it comes in, but it is not something we can count on a regular basis. Whereas a teammate, it's a more reliable stream.
Yep. I always say that casual referral person may give you the referral of the year better than anyone ever has given you, and they will never duplicate it again.
Okay.
Whereas the teammate, they may not give you the referral of the year, but they give continuous referrals because you're working on it actively all the time. And so the volume is what makes it become so wonderful.
Okay. So what should we include in this strategy or this agreement of how we're kind of going together?
Well, the first thing is, we already mentioned, is we have to identify with each other, who are we going after?
Okay.
And if it's not the same group, whatever you want to call it, target market, I know people hate target market, but if it's not, then you might as well just move on. You can still stay friends, and you might casually send referrals back and forth to each other as they appear, but it's going to be almost impossible for you to send referrals to each other, because you're going to be, you know, you're going to be calling on something else while they're calling on something else for themselves, and there the train's going to meet in the middle.
Okay.
So number one, you have to understand what it is that, you know, you're going after. And then you also want to take a look at the relationship. How do we want to operate this relationship?
Mm-hmm.
How often do we want to meet? And what I found is, when you have a meeting, accountability gets built in.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's
true.
There's
no way in heck that I'm going to tell my referral teammate, by the way, I'm going to do these two things for you before we meet in 2 weeks, and then have that next meeting happen and have me say, oh, sorry, I just didn't have time to work on that. There's no way I'm going to do that.
Right.
You can
right.
bet. I might be up at 11 o'clock the night before making it happen.
Okay.
But have that agreement between each other on how regularly you're going to meet. And I recommend no less than every other week.
Okay. And I know that we've talked about some of the ideas is to always have two on the calendar, so that just in case something happens and one of you miss one, you've got that other one to fall back on.
Yeah. You don't have to play telephone tag for the next 3 months to, you know, get the train moving again.
Although one would argue, if you are playing telephone tag, maybe there's something wrong with that.
That could be true. Well, you know, we all get our calendars, you know, busy. So if you don't have that next appointment out there, your calendar may preclude you from getting another appointment on your schedule for 2 or 3 months.
Sure. Definitely. So what else do we need to do to really prepare? I mean, what can we do to make our teammates' job as easy as possible?
So use whatever resources are available to you. I always recommend highly the Toledo Public Library, because it's so great, but I know Cleveland Library, and there's, you know, libraries worldwide. Although I have found out from my networking that the USA has the best libraries, and other countries, not so much.
Okay.
But they have resources that are free. We use reference sources. I think it's called, it used to be called Reference USA, but the name has changed. I think it's Reference Sources.
Okay.
You can go to the library and say to the business librarian, I need help figuring out, you know, who I'm going after. This is, you know, and he or she will sit down and help you with this very robust database. And you can pull up the names of the people that you might want to be going after. You can even take a look at LinkedIn, but you need to create a list of at least 10 to 20 specific people that you're going after. Because if you go to your first meeting with your teammate and say, you know, just give me, you know what I want, just give it to me.
Oh, yeah.
that's not going to work. You're going to strategize. You're going to go to the meeting, and with my referral partner, when we were meeting, we're not meeting right now just because of COVID has changed things a little bit. But I would go with my list of businesses that I wanted to get into with, you know, the contact. And then she would go through and say, okay, I have a connection here. I have a connection here. Let's talk about what you want me to say, how you want me to get you in the door. Mm-hmm. And then she would do the same thing for me. I was doing something a little different for her. I was getting her into businesses, but for a different reason.
Okay. So, I mean, it seems like this is a very, it's somewhat labor intensive. You've got to have your own preparations in place, and then you've got to work to actually, you know, follow your agreement, your strategy with your partner. And then couldn't it potentially get to the point where you realize it's not working for one or both of you? And couldn't that potentially damage the relationship?
Yeah. If you're going to the next appointment that you have with your teammate and you're not doing what you said you were going to do, or vice versa, if they come to it and nothing's been done one time, okay, you know, we'll work better for the next 2 weeks. But if it continually happens, then you think you really need to have, you need to have this agreement up front. And I recommend for our students that they put a date in the calendar, like 3 months from the time that they first start their teammate agreement. And so let's pretend it's today, which is March 21st. And so April, May, June, I would say in June, around the 20th or the 21st, you have an appointment on your calendar. And the only reason for that appointment is to evaluate the relationship. Is it working? And if it's not, is there something that we can do to make it work? Or is it time to back off and move on to do other things?
Right. Because we don't want to, if nothing else, we don't want to damage the, we don't want to have resentment start to build up between right. us to the point where this doesn't end with us still being friends. This ends with us not wanting to talk to each other ever again.
Bad taste in our mouth. And we don't want to waste our time either yeah. of us, you know? So if it's not working for whatever reason, maybe we found out that we thought we had same or similar target markets, but when we really got into it, we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so it may not be the personality that's affecting it of what are the teammates, but it just may be variables that we can't control.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. All right. So what else do we need to know about, or what else do we need to cover regarding referral partnerships?
So one thing that I have found that I have to do is I have to write down what the commitments are.
Okay.
So the goals for the next time for me to achieve for you and you to achieve for me are this. And the reason is because number one, I'll forget. What was I supposed to do? And number two, it builds an accountability. So if it's in writing and it's sitting there staring at me, it kind of pushes me to do what I'm supposed to do.
And I would say even something that I've noticed, you know, and it might be even just with regular goal setting, is that it not only has to be written, it has to be visible.
Yes.
You know, if it's written down in a notebook somewhere off on the side, it might not impinge, especially early on, it might not impinge on my consciousness. But if I have it posted right there above my computer monitor or right on my computer monitor, I'm more likely to pay attention to it.
Yeah. And what I found, even though I joke about, you know, doing it at the 11th hour, which I have done, I must admit, I have found that if I meet with my teammate and then I just set aside the time to immediately do at least get started on what I said that I'm going to do, it's a lot easier. You know, I everything's fresh. I can remember everything so that it pushes me because it's there. And then I can set it aside because, you know, I've got things going, or I may have to have a second step or a third step. But what I do is I put those as appointments in my calendar hit me in the forehead to say, remember to do this, Debbie, to push myself.
I like that idea though, is to actually set aside time immediately after your partner meeting so that you can actually, because if you think about it, action is easiest right away.
Yep.
It's you're already in that mode. You might as well keep moving.
I learned that from BNI because my partners were really good, and that at least more than half of our 40 members would ask for specific referrals every week, and I would write them down. And not all of them were teammates in the sense that we're talking about, but I looked at them as my team. And certainly if they were willing to put in the time to come up with something that they wanted, you know, that was specific, I wanted to put in the time to help them achieve that. And if my BNI chapter met on Thursday morning, if I waited until Wednesday night, it just hung over me all week. So I would come home from my BNI meeting if I didn't have other appointments and come back to my office, and I would immediately work on it. Because first of all, I got it started, because sometimes people don't get back to you. But second of all, it was done. I could move on to other stuff.
Now I know where Kaylee gets her work ethic.
Not for me, huh?
It must have jumped me and ended up. All right. Well, I think that that covers the main parts that we need for this, right?
I think so. I can't think of anything else. Maybe Amy will have some questions for us and we can have part two.
Maybe we'll bring Amy on and just find out how she's doing with her own pursuits of having a referral partner.
That would be a great idea.
So, all right. Well, I'll go ahead and turn this back to you. Thank you all for tuning into our program today. If you enjoyed it, please comment on our Facebook pages. The information is in the episode notes. We would love to hear about your experiences with a significant referral partner and what you've had to do to make it work and what made it work better for you. If you'd like to hear more, of course, do please subscribe. We come back every single week and we would hate to miss you. So until next time, go out and make some great connections. Bye, Mom.
Bye, Greg. See you soon.
You've been listening to the Third Generation Networking Podcast with your hosts, Greg and Debbie Peters. If you'd like to learn more about our new virtual training programs, go to connextnation.com.